This is Ella, and welcome back to my podcast, where I look at a particular theme, subject, or genre of music and discuss its evolution. So today I'll be looking at something not entirely unrelated to what we were discussing last time, which was the tradition of the ghost dance in Native American music. So I'll be discussing today another long-standing musical tradition in terms of traditional cultures, but it's a rather different one from the traditional ghost dance. This time I will be discussing throat or overtone singing. So what is this? It's a particular vocal technique which uses and manipulates the resonance produced when air travels from the lungs through the throat and past the vocal cords, using the potential for amplification in the human body. Overtones, which we've discussed in both math and in Dawn's class, are manipulated by changing the shape of resonant areas in the mouth and larynx. It is also possible to produce more than one pitch at the same time, the fundamental being initially produced through the voice, and a manipulated overtone selected through the shape of the mouth. Overtone singing has a distinctive sound very different from what is usually thought of as singing by your average Western listener. Throat singing has been a traditional part of various cultures around the world for centuries. As a technique, it possibly originated in southwest Mongolia before spreading to the rest of the country and beyond. Mongolia is still considered one of the central locations for throat singing in the world, along with Tuva, which is located in southern Siberia. The two countries have multiple styles, with much overlap between the techniques used in each of them. Altai is another place which has a strong tradition of throat singing, though it's mostly used for the performance of epic poetry, sometimes accompanied by a type of two-stringed lute called a topshur. Tibetan Buddhist chanting also falls into the realm of throat singing, typically keeping to the lower registers than some of the other traditions. Pakistan, Iran, and Afghanistan also have areas where throat singing sometimes appears, as well as some areas of Africa, though to a much lesser degree. The Tuvan style would be one of the most well-known, with many subgenres and classifications. It was traditionally practiced by male herders, though in modern years there has been a rise of woman overtone singers, defying a cultural perception that a woman singing in the overtone style is a source of bad luck to the men close to her. Usually the fundamental in Tuvan overtone singing is around the G below middle C. Emphasis is placed on finding a suitable location for the singing. The wide spaces of the plains allow for sounds to carry for great distances, and there is also a spiritual element. The Tuvan religion is somewhat naturalistic, and a strong element in throat singing is mimicry of sounds found in nature, which is in fact believed to be the initial inspiration for overtone singing in Tuva. Many of their instruments as well being designed to mimic natural sounds. In nearby Mongolia, there is a legend that harmonic sounds with no discernible source drew deer to a particular river, and this was how people, following them, first discovered the existence of overtones. In fact, many of the subgenres of overtone singing in Tuvan, and to a certain extent Mongolian culture, are designed to mimic specific sounds. One of the most popular styles is supposed to evoke the sound of wind blowing over rocks, while others imitate birdsong, horses, crickets, and water. Inuit throat singing is another well-known style, but it is also somewhat different. While it classifies as throat singing, it is not, in fact, a form of overtone singing. No distinct harmonics are produced. It is a relatively unique phenomenon globally, with no real equivalent elsewhere in the world. It was not seen by the Inuit as music. Indeed, it is debatable if the Inuit even had what we would consider a distinct concept of music, despite engaging in clearly musical activities. Before coming into contact with other cultures, their language had no word distinguishing music from more general sounds, and most of their methods of producing what we might call music involved percussion. Throat singing was instead a way to pass the time, like a form of game or contest with a definable outcome, rather than a definitely musical activity. It was almost exclusively practiced by women while the men were away on long hunting trips, though it is not unheard of for men to participate as well. The practice consists of two people, usually women, facing each other and grasping each other's arms. There is a leader who sets the rhythmic pattern, and the other fills the spaces with a related but distinct pattern. Voiced and unvoiced sounds are both used, on both the inhale and the exhale. The sounds can be either words or nonsense syllables, and the first person to interrupt the rhythm, whether by laughter, a break in concentration, or a lack of breath, is the loser. Circular breathing is used in order to maintain the pace. Sometimes, but not always, they stand close enough to use each other's mouths as resonators, and sometimes they sway or shuffle from side to side in dance-like movements. Inuit throat singing at one time was relatively rare. The priests that came with the European colonists denounced it as demonic, and its practice was greatly reduced, though in recent years there's been somewhat of a revival amongst younger Inuit anxious to rediscover their culture. There was one other culture in the world which practiced something similar to the style of Inuit throat singing. Rekakara was practiced by the Ainu, which were indigenous groups in northern Japan, up until 1976, with the death of the last practitioner. It also involved the participation of two women, one vocalizing and the other using her mouth as a resonator to shape the sound. Contemporary music has also seen something of a presence of both overtone and throat singing. Some modern composers have incorporated it into their work, notably Karlheinz Stockhausen, beginning with Stimmung in 1968. John Metcalfe's opera Tornrack also has Inuit characters who throat sing, and Tafel Music recorded a reinterpretation of Vivaldi's Four Seasons with traditional throat singing performers. Interestingly, throat singing has at least on one occasion also been invented or discovered independent of a cultural tradition. Arthur Miles was a Texan who sang traditional cowboy songs in the 1920s, and he independently developed his own style of overtone singing, reminiscent of the Tuvan tradition. He used it as a substitute for the traditional yodeling found in some cowboy songs. There are only two surviving recordings of him, both of a song called Lonely Cowboy.
Singing song, and some were smoking cigarettes while the hours rolled along.
Paul Penna was a blues and folk artist who also taught himself the Tuvan style, occasionally blending it with blues and winning some renown in the process. Finally, and perhaps most popularly, Hun Her Tu are a traditional Tuvan overtone group, but they frequently collaborate with artists from other styles of music, As a musical form, in terms of technique, it remains virtually unchanged from the first documentation of it, though it has gained an increasing acceptance into being used in some forms of popular music.